a reading from the book of Proverbs, reading from verses chapter 8, verses 22 to 31. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth, and there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields, or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight, day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Of the various readings in the Anglican lectionary today, and those are the set readings for each day within the Anglican tradition, I've chosen Proverbs 8 verses 22 to 31 because it follows on so beautifully from Psalm 111, which we looked at last week. I mentioned then how it's often said that the works of a person reflect who they are. They give us a greater understanding of the designer. And we thought about how God's creation reflects who God is, our good, good, generous, loving, caring Father. As we look at this short section from Proverbs, it's hard not to picture God as an artist. We see the canvas being created, and of course the canvas is the whole creation. So let me just dip into a few verses to demonstrate what I mean. The mountains were set in place. He marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. He established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. He gave the sea its boundary. As well as the wow factor that we considered as we worked our way through Psalm 111, today's reading gives us a great sense of the precision and intention of God when he created the world. Perhaps more than the artist with their canvas and their brushes, it brings to mind a skilled, precise craftsperson. Some friends of mine at the moment are in the middle of building their own house, which they've designed themselves, and I'm following their progress in complete awe and admiration of the detailed planning and the complexities of the execution. This description of God in Proverbs makes all of that actually just completely pale into insignificance. This is another example of biblical poetry. That's what Proverbs are. While Psalms is a book of poems written in the form of song, Proverbs is a book of poems written to present important teachings for life. So what does Proverbs 8, 22 to 31 teach us? Well, you would be with some great historic biblical scholars if you came to the conclusion that it was teaching us about Jesus and Jesus's presence with God the Father right from the very beginning. Let's read. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning before the world began. That's what it says in verses 22 to 23. One of today's other set readings in the lectionary is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, and that is very much about Jesus's role from the very beginning. However, while some still believe that Proverbs 8 is about Jesus, it's much more widely accepted now that it isn't. I don't think there's any harm at all in drawing us to reflect on the Trinity, and in particular, the relationship between Jesus the Son and God the Father. But if you go right back to the very beginning of Proverbs 8 in verse 1, which we didn't read this morning, I think it points out the original purpose of the poem. Let me just read that first verse. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? within the spirit of the poetry of Proverbs and its aim to teach important life lessons, this first verse strongly suggests that the whole thing is actually about wisdom. Ooh, wisdom. So what is wisdom? Well, we'll all probably have our very different ideas of it. I guess we generally think of wisdom as something human beings develop, and that is done through a process of studying life experiences, maybe gazing into telescopes, examining things in test tubes, spending time in libraries, reading cleverly written books, analysing statistics, maybe just observing people and their actions. We tend to believe, don't we, that wisdom is something that comes with age. Now, there is certainly wisdom to be found and achieved through some of these human endeavours and through time, but they can also lead to some really serious problems because humans so often do not get it right. We once believed that the earth was flat. We believed and promoted that smoking tobacco was good for the health, that women were inferior to men. And, well, I could go on with some even more sinister false conclusions of wise scholars that have caused very, very serious damage to individuals and to society. It's safe to say then that this is not the kind of wisdom that Proverbs is drawing us to. And the fact is that biblical wisdom is very different to academically achieved and life experience wisdom. One of the best descriptions of biblical wisdom that I've come across, or the one that I like, is that it's a way of living, talking and thinking that honours God and blesses people. I'll say that again. Living, talking and thinking that honours God and blesses people. In other words, wise people understand their Father and Creator God, and as a result of that, they become exactly who He designed them to be and to do exactly what He created them to do. Of course, within that, we have our human flaws, we have sin, and that steers us away from living that perfect life. But that is, I think, the real meaning of biblical wisdom. It's often said that the Bible is like an instruction manual for life, and that's a parallel that I personally draw on regularly. I find it really helpful. If we follow the instruction manual, then we'll be demonstrators of biblical wisdom because it's there in everything, according to this proverb. But, you know, I think Proverbs 8 takes this a step further. It's really saying that wisdom is about going deeper than the instruction manual. It's about knowing the inventor, the designer, the artist, whichever you prefer, intimately. And in having a close, deep relationship with that being, which is, of course, our Creator God, our Father God, we gain way more than if we were to just read the instruction manual, because we know exactly how He works. We can't escape one of the central truths in the proverb, that godly wisdom is not something we can learn or earn. It was created by God in the beginning. Wisdom is embedded in the world, in every created thing, in all of creation. And all of creation then provides evidence of the wisdom of God. Like everything of God, wisdom is simply a gracious gift from Him. It's waiting for us to accept if we choose. It's there for us all, whoever we are, whatever age, whatever gender. Of course, unlike human wisdom, which can limit that, who has access to wisdom. I just want to end with another couple of definitions of biblical wisdom, just so that we're able to reflect on what God has provided for us in integrating wisdom into the very fabric of His creation. Wisdom is the ability to live according to God's way of life based on knowledge and understanding of His commands and order of His world. And wisdom is the ability to judge correctly and follow the best course of action based on that knowledge and understanding.